This is What the Faux Travel Podcast, and this episode is all about scams.
Hello guys, welcome to the show. Now you're probably going to be thinking, what's going on? We're halfway through the month. We only released a show about 2 weeks ago, but we're now releasing another show. We're going to start doing two shows a month. So Amy, explain further what I'm talking about.
Okay, so if you follow us on any sort of social media, you will realise that we have just changed our logo. So we've had a complete rebrand because, let's face it, it looked a bit old and weary before. We needed to make it look cool and young and
whip.
Cool and whip. So, private joke there. It's a Family Guy reference, but there you go. So if you have a look at our sweet new logo, you'll notice it's three different triangles. So the three triangles actually are symbols for challenge, learn and explore. And we're kind of thinking that's what this podcast is about. We want to get you learning, exploring and challenging yourself. So every episode that we're doing, these mini episodes, which is what this is, every mini episode is going to be either about a challenge, about learning, or about exploring. And this one, to start us off, is about learning, because we're going to talk about scams.
Yeah, halfway through the month is going to be these mini episodes. We're still, as normal, on the first of every month, going to release our full-blown proper episode, which is always based on a country. But yeah, this is more talking topics. We are talking about scams today. Now, when we've been travelling, we've all been victim of a scam every now and then. So hopefully, by telling you guys the stuff we've experienced, and also later on, we've got some listeners who have sent in some little audio clips of them explaining their scam experiences. Hopefully, by giving this information to you guys, you can avoid being scammed yourself.
Yeah, so how do you not get scammed? Information. That is exactly what this is about. And just going quickly back to asking listeners for stories, we asked for stories through our Instagram and Twitter. So if you ever in the future want to get onto Faux, we're going to be asking you guys for a lot more stories in the future. So follow us on there, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, and then you might be able to be featured on What the Faux Travel Podcast, which is pretty cool. So yeah, the way to not get scammed is information. So let's start off by talking about our own personal scam stories. I think our biggest one happened in Spain. Would you agree, Nick?
Yeah, that was the biggest scam and just me being fucking stupid.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy like reveling in this story just because you look a bit silly, don't you?
Yeah. Well, people that remember our Domestics Abroad episode months ago, a long time ago.
In series one.
Yeah, we were talking about things that when you're traveling with a partner, things you might argue about. And this was one of the things we definitely argued about.
Yeah, I think this is actually one of our biggest arguments ever.
Yeah. Maybe. And it lasted for like an hour or two, but it was heated.
It was.
Go on, John, explain.
It went dark. So we were walking down the really famous street, Las Ramblas. And
did you say Barcelona?
I said Spain.
Okay.
But yeah, in Barcelona. By this point, we'd not been to Thailand or Asia or anywhere. We hadn't done any extensive travel together. We'd just been on small holidays. And we were traveling with a Brazilian couple that I used to live with in London. So we're walking down this street and there's all these games going on. It's a busy street, you know, like all those statue people who like dress up and stuff and they get money through doing
that. Yeah, all the street entertainers.
Street entertainers, all of that sort of thing. We come across these three or four guys playing a game where basically you have three cups, one ball. That sounds like a dirty porno.
Three cups, one ball.
And they put the ball under, swap it around, and you guess which cup has the ball. Pretty simple stuff. And you play it and you think, I've got it right every single time.
Yeah, now, what do you mean when you're watching from the edge?
Yeah, when you're watching it. So Nick was like, I know I can do it. Guys, don't worry about it. I can save us here because we're running low on money. I think the trick is that you win the first time and you win a little bit of money, right?
No, I was watching thinking this is really easy. The guy who's actually doing, you know, the game, I'm thinking this guy's stupid. I can see where the ball is every time. So then I just whacked down 50 euros.
50 euros.
Because then you can double
your, it's so much money.
You can double your money, and that's what the guys with like loads of guys just won, and they were doubling their money. So I put in 50 euros. And obviously, this time suddenly he was much better at it, and he'd done some like hand trick, and I got it wrong and lost 50 euros in the space of a few seconds. I just lost 50 euros. I'm like, oh, shit, I felt like an idiot. But what I didn't realise was when I was watching the game, it looked really easy because that was him and his mates pretending to play the game and the mates were winning the money every time.
Yeah, so he was pretending that his mates were strangers who had also just walked up on this game and, lost 50 euros, a lot of our budget to eat.
So normally, these street entertainers, if you have to bet money on them, and it looks easy, it's too good to be true. So don't fall for the same trick that I did.
Yeah, because it's one of those, and I know I like play with you about it, but like I see why you did it. They were good at what they were doing. It's just when you're an outsider, it is just like, how on earth can you fall for that? But when you're in it, you know, you don't see it.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it. So that's one to avoid.
Absolutely. So another big one is in Thailand, Bangkok. Do you want to say about that one?
Yeah, we had just arrived in Bangkok. This is our first time in Asia. We're walking to our hotel. We must have looked like such newbies to traveling.
White, pale people.
Yeah, and we've got all our bags on. We're trying to find a hotel. And the tuk-tuk driver says, oh, if you want, I can see you're new in town. We can do a tour of Bangkok in one of our tuk-tuks for like, it was the equivalent of like 30p or 30 or 50p cheap. We're like, whoa, a city tour for that cheap. That's amazing. All it is the guy does take you to some places around the city, but he also takes you to a lot of his friends' shops where they really pressure you to buy stuff. So obviously, the money you've paid for the tour, they're banking on the fact that they're going to sell you stuff later on this tour. It's not a tour. Like I said, it's just a way to get you into their mate's shops.
So what sort of shops do they take you to? It's like places where you can get handmade suits?
Yeah, clothes shops, souvenir shops. But then at the end, they take you to a place which seemed to be government run, but they sell you tours and like boat trips and things like that.
Like a travel agent. Yeah, well, they tell you it's government run, but yeah, obviously true. That's a lie.
Yeah, and they really pressure you. They're like, in Thailand, you can't just turn up and do something. You have to book in advance, which is complete bollocks. Thailand is the easiest place. You can just turn up and think, what do I want to do today? And you can do it.
Because I don't think we would have fell for that. But the way they got us was they said, when we first met the tuk-tuk driver, he was like, oh, the government are doing this new scheme where they're paying us a bit of money, petrol money, so then we can take you around for a cheaper price. So we were like, oh my God, the Thai government is amazing.
Right. We've been in Asia one day and this is a great place.
I love Thailand. But that's the way they got around it. We wouldn't have fallen for it before, I don't think. But yeah, so it's not government run. They are just going to get commission from their friend shops.
For sure. So another one that we fell for was, we were in the capital of Cambodia, Phnom Penh, and we wanted to get a bus to Siem Reap. That's where all the Angkor Wat temples are. And our tuk-tuk driver took us from our hotel in Phnom Penh to the bus station, which, by the way, before I even carry on with the story, if you can't afford it, fly to Siem Reap. The bus journey is horrible. It sucks.
It really is.
Anyway, our tuk-tuk driver said, oh, I'll tell you what, I'll give your name to a friend of mine in Siem Reap. He'll be there waiting at the bus station for you and he'll take you to your hotel. And we're thinking, great, what a nice guy. So yeah, we gave him our names and stuff. And what he did, he phoned ahead, gave our names and our description. He described what we looked like to this driver in Siem Reap. And this guy turned up and he said, oh, you're Nick Thompson. We actually thought, I don't feel right about this.
Yeah, I instantly said, no, that's not me.
Yeah, so we're like, no, that's sorry. He goes, yes, I know you. And he described us. He said, yes, you're both dark hair. I know you. You're Nick Thompson.
He described the clothes we were wearing as well, which was quite scary.
Yeah, and then he said, follow me. Here's my car. And straight away then we're like, car, this is weird because tuk-tuk drivers are everywhere. We would have been more comfortable in a tuk-tuk than a car. And we thought, okay, let's go along with this. Got in his car. And
which at that point, I said to you, as soon as we got in the back of the car, I remember saying to you, I was like, Nick, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Our bags were locked in the boot as well, which made it even weirder. Like, he wouldn't let us have our bags with us. At that point, I was like, Nick, I already don't feel comfortable. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. So I just said to him, just take us to the main part of town and we'll find a hostel. He's like, no, I'll take you to a hotel. Where do you want to go? We're like, dude, we don't know. We've just got here. Just take us to the main part of town. Drop us off. We'll pay you for the journey and then leave us alone. Then he insisted, he took us to a lot of different hotels, and we're thinking, well, he's obviously mates with the people that own the hotel. What's going on? We just want to pick our own place rather than him choose. He took us to a load of places,
like expensive places as well, where there was no backpackers. It was all like families, which is great if you want like a luxury holiday, but we wanted a dirty hostel.
We just wanted to be in a good location
with a lot of backpackers.
Yeah, and he took us to loads of places, and eventually we're like, okay, we got to a hotel, and we're like, dude, enough is enough, like, thanks, here's the money for the journey, like a few US dollars, not much.
You actually get paid him over the price so that he'd leave?
Oh, I did. No, I gave him a few at first and he said, no, he said, don't worry about that. Like, I'll be your driver for the whole weekend. It's all good. I'm like, no, dude, take the money and see you later. And then he wouldn't have it. He's like, I was waiting for hours for you at the bus station. You owe me at least this. He wanted like 10 US dollars, which in Cambodia is way too much. I just offered to give him 5, which you said is still way over, but I just wanted to get rid of him. And he wouldn't take it. He's like, no, I'm your driver for the weekend.
He got so aggressive.
Yeah.
And he actually started to push and shove you, didn't he? And I'm thinking, oh my God, like, we've just arrived in this country. Nick's like being pushed about. And then But this was in the hotel reception by this point. And I looked at the receptionist and I said, call the police now, because that's how aggressive he was getting. And she was just a young girl. And I think she went to get her manager. And they were almost like kind of not laughing, but they were kind of just watching the situation. I started to cry. And I think it was a little bit of fear, but 90% of me was because... Some people might disagree with me here. It's a good way to get out of situations. It worked for us in Morocco when we weren't allowed out of a carpet place years before. But as soon as somebody sees a woman cry, it's almost like, oh, back off. Like, this is getting serious now. Yeah, so I did that, and I was trying to get in between you two because I thought, he's a man. Like, this is pretty stupid. Like, maybe he might have hit me, but I thought... Like, he will definitely try and hit you because he was pushing you by that point. I thought, if I get in the middle, he won't hit me. I'm a woman. And I just, like, tried to separate you and it just got out of hand.
Yeah, and then the hotel staff, they wouldn't call the police. And then we're thinking, oh, wait, is that a good idea to call the police? Are they going to be really corrupt? And are they going to want more money? So you just, we don't know what the rules are in this country. Eventually, the hotel manager did speak to the guy and eventually he gave up and left.
Well, I think you're missing out, like, the absolute hero of this story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I said it was a family hotel. Well, this family came in with two children, wife and husband. They were from Australia. And the dad was just an absolute hero. Like, I just looked at him.
What's going on here, mate?
When I was crying, I just turned to him and I went, can you speak English? And he was like, yeah, what do you want, mate? And he was like, right, I'm going to get you the number for the police. And because he was like such a big authoritative guy, like the receptionist was listening to him and they were helping us. And then he sort of diffused the situation and the guy went off and he turned to the guy and he was like, mate, you've been paid way too much money. You can fuck off, basically. After that, we like went to our room. I think we got upgraded after that, didn't we? In this, because we ended up staying at that hotel.
The hotel manager was like, okay, you've been through a rough time. Yeah, I'll sort you out a good deal in a room.
Yeah, so we stayed there and it was a really nice room. It was great. And then we saw the family in the pool after and he actually said to us, he's like, guys, I don't think you should be travelling in Cambodia on your own. You're not equipped to do this. And we were like, we're so shit of traveling.
We were proper newbie travelers, but you know, we're telling you guys this stuff so you don't have to make the same mistakes. Just don't commit to any taxi drivers, don't give your name and stuff like that. Don't even tell them where you're going, just like, bus station please.
Yeah,
oh, where are you going? Airport or whatever.
Yeah, I've known a lot of backpackers to change their name, like, and it's quite funny. You can make a bit of a game about it, just like make up stupid names as you're going around. But yeah, don't get someone's mate to meet you somewhere. It's just not safe at all.
So another one I want to quickly mention, when we were in Morocco recently, I was just at this little shop, wanted to buy a bottle of water, said to the guy, how much is that? I had 15 dirhams in my hand, which I kind of presented to him. He looked in my hand and said, 15 dirhams. Yes, of course it fucking is, mate. So just don't present your money at first.
So normally like a bottle would have been what, 2 to 5 dirhams?
Probably.
Yeah, something like that.
Mugged off. And I knew it at the time was being mugged off, but I thought I was just being an idiot for showing him what I had.
This is like my one thing, like when we're travelling, it does annoy me, because if we've got like a bulk bit of cash out when we've just arrived in a country, you just love, like, I don't think you realise how much you show money off. So you'll get like a wad of cash out and you're just like looking through it going, oh, how much is this note? How much is this? And I'm like, Nick, everyone can fucking see how much money you've got in your hand. Put it away.
Yeah, you are a bit weird of money, but probably for the right reasons.
That's not weird.
Yeah, I'm just saying for the right reasons. Yeah.
I think people will like spot you and then like you haven't seen them spot you and then they could follow you an hour later, be like, mate, give me your wallet. Like,
it's, I know what you've got.
You can never be too safe.
No, you're right.
So like we said earlier, we asked for some stories through Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, and you lovely lot have delivered. So we've got quite a few good stories for you here of all different travellers from around the world as well. We've got some people in Shanghai, obviously some people from the UK. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've got a nice little variety
in
here.
Australia as well.
Yep.
Even got a story all the way from the island of Jersey.
Yes.
There'll be some people thinking, what, New Jersey? I will explain later what or where Jersey is.
Yeah. So here are a few stories that we were sent in.
Hi, this is Robert Kelly from the podcast Travel Tape. So scams. I was 19 in Bangkok and asked my tuk-tuk driver to take me to the Royal Palace. No, sir, he said, the Royal Palace is closed today. It's the king's birthday. But it was just my luck because this also meant that there were big sales all across the city. So we headed off to a craft shop that he recommended, and somehow we ended up looking at gems, Black Star Sapphires. I knew a sales pitch was coming soon, but I didn't realize how much I actually wanted to hear it. It wasn't buy these things, they're beautiful, they'll make a great souvenir. It was buy these, go to Malaysia, and you can sell them for 3 times what you paid for here. Now, of course, my brain should have been telling me, run, run. But instead it was saying, hey, maybe, let's take a gamble here. If it works, you can keep traveling for as long as you like. So I spent around 300 US on, of course, what was just glass. And then I went down to Malaysia, to Kuala Lumpur, where I actually live now. And the Indian jewelers there just kind of had a field day with me. Every time I walked into the shop, I told my story. They would tell me, oh, we have enough Black Star sapphires here, but I'm pretty sure my friend down the road needs some. And pretty soon, I realized this was pretty hopeless. I went back to Bangkok, and I demanded to speak to the owner of the gem shop. I was led upstairs to a large room, and I met an older man there sitting behind a big polished teak desk. And on either side of the desk were about 10 young men in white shirts with sticks in their hands. So the boss, or whoever he was, listened to my story and kind of smiled, kind of smirked, and then he gave me his own advice on how I could still make a profit on the sapphires. There wasn't much else to do but thank him and then leave. Lesson learned. If anything ever looks too good to be true, yeah, it really is.
Hi, this is Kim Lorimer. I am a backpacking enthusiast. I live somewhere between Australia and Scotland, mainly Scotland. Anyway, my story. I decided that Morocco would be an awesome place for my first proper solo adventure. Yeah, like most people do. It was great, if difficult. I had been told by my fellow backpacker pals to just go on and get the henna. Then the henna brigade will leave me alone. So I did. I kind of wanted it anyway, and for the next week I wondered why everyone knew my name, that I was single and headed to Essaouira, and then living in Scotland. It turns out it was written on my arms in Arabic. Talk about screaming easy target. That lovely little lady getting my whole life story was putting it on there for the whole world to see, luring me in for every target, every little trap for the rest of my trip. However, plenty of fun memories and a great place to visit.
Hello, my name is Ryan Sanim. I'm from Wales, UK, but I grew up in Mauritius. So yeah, this is how my mates and I were scammed during our backpacking trip to northern India this December, January. This happened in Delhi, and we were actually scammed twice. The first one was when our tuk-tuk driver, which we used it as our guide, took us to an Indian shop where apparently they sell the best shawls or Indian clothes. He said that the price of the clothes were 4,000 rupees, but after some bargaining, we settled down to 3,000 rupees, only to realize that it was supposed to cost only 1,500 max. Wow. Now, the second time we were scammed was in Old Delhi, when we were walking towards the biggest mosque in India. I think it's called the Jama Masjid or something. While we were walking down, a guy came to us and then told us that if we wanted our ears to be cleaned, we were like, since it was gonna be our first time experience, we decided to give it a go. But then after everything was done, he demanded us that we pay him 700 each. We were like 8 of us, so it was insane. But then paying 800 rupees for just cleaning our earwax, it was crazy. So we just had an argument, and the price was down to 300 rupees. But then still, 300 rupees for someone cleaning your ears was still pretty insane. Back at hostel, everyone, including the hostel owner, were just laughing on us. But yeah, to be honest, it was a fun experience. But India is a nice place with both the extremes.
Hello, my name is James, and I am currently living in Shanghai. I write a blog which you can read at trybeforeyoudieproject.wordpress.com. My scam happened to me back in January. When I first got to Shanghai, I was walking around an area of the city called Yuyuan Garden, which is well known for its traditional classical Chinese architecture. And I was stopped by a couple to take a picture for them. And afterwards, they started talking to me. They kept reassuring me that they weren't married, that they were actually brother and sister. And within about 5-10 minutes, you know, we were on very sort of chit-chatty terms, and they asked me if I wanted to go to a Chinese tea ceremony, because that's where they were going. They were only in Shanghai for 2 days for a little holiday. They came from the south somewhere. I was swept off my feet by them. I thought they were two very, very lovely people. So I went to the tea ceremony, which was in the back bedroom of a house behind a shop down quite a deserted back street. You know, I immediately thought that something was not right, but I thought that they were going to try and poison me and maybe sell my organs on the black market, because I've heard about that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead with this. If problems occur, then, you know, I'll get myself out of it physically if necessary. But if I have to drink anything, I'm only going to drink after everyone else drinks. That was my one rule. And so sat down for the ceremony, and the woman who led the ceremony only spoke in Chinese. And so the guy who I met in New Garden was translating for me. And it was just a story about kings and queens. Very, very good. We tried about 8 different teas. I always made sure that I drank last. After about 20 minutes, because I didn't feel sleepy or anything, you know, I relaxed a lot. Then it came to towards the end, and I thought I was going to write a blog post about it, you know, a lovely Chinese experience. And I wanted to take a picture to kind of give my readers something to help visualize. And the woman leading the ceremony freaked out when I got my phone out, and then she said something in Chinese and left the room. And the guy who I was with said, part of her religion prohibits her from having her picture taken, so you can take a picture, but not while she's in the room. And I thought that was a little bit strange, but, you know, I still didn't twig. And then after a few more minutes, the bill came, and bam, I got stuck with a bill of about 450 RMB, which works out at about £50, you know, for a tea ceremony, £50. I was thinking, okay, I'm a tourist, fair enough. This is a bit of a ridiculous price, but it's not so ridiculous that I don't believe it. So I ended up paying, and, you know, the guy and the woman that I was with, they paid for theirs as well, which came to a similar price. Then we left, and we all sort of said goodbye. And then later on in the evening, I told a couple of my friends, you know, how my day had been. And I said, oh, I met these two lovely people in New Garden. We went to a tea ceremony. And one of my friends just laughed and was like, yeah, good one. And I was like, what? And then he told me all about the tea scam and how it's notorious. So I went on TripAdvisor, and because I was still convinced that these people were real, that they weren't just trying to get my money. And I went on TripAdvisor, and it was the exact same scenario that had only happened a few weeks prior to it happening to me. Almost, you know, every detail was the exact same. So yeah, not the worst scam in the world. And I was about £45 down, £50 down. At least my organs weren't sold on the black market.
What's happening, Mother Ferrers? Rich here, long-time listener of the show. So my scam story. I was a guy that wasn't going to get scammed. I'd done my preparation, I'd done my research, I'd been on the websites, I'd been on the blogs, spoken to people who'd been travelling before, and I was all clued up, and they weren't going to get me. And they didn't get me for about 3 weeks, and then they did. I was travelling from Phuket to Koh Phangan, not the most cultural of places, but there you go. I was going for the full moon party. And anybody who's been to Thailand or Southeast Asia will know that journeys from one place to another, they try and fit you on as many different vehicles, as many different modes of transport as possible. And this journey was no different. It was 3 minibuses, 1 coach and a boat. So we just finished the 3rd minibus journey. We were waiting for the coach, and there's this Thai guy, and he's getting backpackers to follow him into a building. Then they're all coming back, and I see him go to people on their own or people in pairs. And eventually he comes to me and a friend, and he says to us, can I speak to you guys in a minute? Will you follow me? So me and my friend go, yeah, sure, no problem. We follow him into this room, and he says, right, when you get off the boat in Koh Phangan, how are you getting to Hadrin? So Hadrin's where the full moon party is and where everyone stays. That's on one side of the island. The boat comes on the other side of the island. So he's saying to us, how are we getting from the boat to Hadrin? And we say, oh, don't know, probably just get a taxi. And they go, oh, there'll be no taxis. There's so many people coming off the boat that all the taxis go straight away and you'll be stuck. And me and my friend thought, oh no, well, what are we going to do? And they said, ah, well, we've got this bus that we can sell you some tickets to, and we'll give a special price just for you, discount, because there's 2 of you. Me and my mate thought, oh wow, that's amazing. We'll take 2. Anyway, after the coach journey, after the boat journey, we got off the boat, and guess what? There's no coach in sight, but there is plenty of taxis, no shortage whatsoever. We get on a taxi and just right off to experience, I guess. And you might be listening to me telling that story and you might be thinking, how on earth did he fall for that? And actually telling it out loud, I'm actually thinking the same thing. Nick and Amy, love the podcast, keep the episodes coming. And to the listeners, I look forward to meeting you all at the What the Faux party in July. Peace.
Thanks to all you guys. You are legends. And the last voice you just heard there was Richard from the RJK World Tour podcast. He's a hero for mentioning the faux party at the end. Don't you guys forget, 1st of July, London. It's going to be big. And he even started with, what's up, mother followers? We need to bring that back. We haven't said that for a while, have we?
Yeah, we definitely do.
Thanks to everyone that sent in audio. You guys are heroes. And hopefully you guys can all learn from that. There's some really useful stuff there. So I mentioned that we had someone send in a story from the island of Jersey. For those that don't know, in between England and France, there's a couple of islands, and one is called Jersey, one's called Guernsey. They actually belong to the UK, or belong to England, I'm not sure which way around it is, but we're all part of the UK. So it was Cassia who wrote in from Jersey. She said she's originally from Poland, but yeah, she lived in Jersey for 17 years now. And the reason why she sent in this story is because she said basically traveling to and from Jersey is just a scam, full stop. She said that, you know, the summers can be great in Jersey because the weather's nice, and it is a really nice place to live. You often associate Jersey with maybe rich people live there, you know. It's, yeah. You've been before, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I went for work once, and there was this thing where, I don't know whether it's a myth or what, but you had to have like £1 million in your bank account to move there.
Yeah, to own a house there.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's a really nice place to live, but I never really thought about this before. Getting out of Jersey to the mainland is a nightmare. There's one ferry a day, apparently, which goes to the UK, but it's often broken down and it's expensive. Or if you want to fly to London or fly to France, you're looking at like over £200 per person just for the flight. So that's before you've even then gone to your main destination. So it's interesting. It's a nice place to live, but once you're there, difficult to leave.
Yeah, we've got another story that was written in as well. And I'm not too sure of his name, but his Instagram name is Maker Jamaica, I think, with K's. I did ask for his name, but he hasn't replied in time, so sorry.
Okay,
so this guy was in Bali riding out on some motorbikes with his friends and ended up getting pulled over by the police because they were wearing flip-flops. And so they argued with them quite a lot, and the police started to demand money, in which they refused, which I think is quite a logical thing to do. That's what anyone would do. And then they started to bribe them more with some like really ludicrous things. And they ended up paying them a small bit of money and left. And he said, luckily, all of his money was in his bag and not in his wallet. Otherwise, they would have taken it all. So it's quite a good idea to share your money out in your belongings.
Yeah, not have it all in one place. That makes perfect sense.
Definitely.
Just don't give the police a reason to pull you over, because they'll find a reason to. Yeah, whether it's flip-flops or helmet or whatever, just don't give them a reason.
I think that's really hard, to be honest.
It's really hard.
They'll pick on anything, won't they?
Yeah. So after all that, who feels like they never want to go travelling ever again?
Exactly. I don't. No, I don't.
I feel bummed out. But like we said, after sharing all this stuff with you, you guys are going to be much better prepared for when you do go travelling to not fall for any of this bullshit.
Exactly. And this is just like one bad side of travel. But once you're over the shock of being scammed, like, it is horrible and you're upset about it. But then after a bit of time for you to cool down, it's quite funny and it's good, like, learning experience as well. So make sure you don't get down about it, because it's really not worth it. Just learn from it and just realise it's a rite of passage when you travel.
All travellers have been through it. And just what you said was perfect, Amy. Yeah, try not to feel too down about it. We've been scammed before when we're like, oh, shit. And that kind of ruins the rest of your day. It could ruin the next couple of days. But the stuff does happen. And unless you're really stupid like me, gambling on street games in Barcelona, then you can feel like a bit of a dickhead. But most of the time, you know, this isn't anyone's fault. Well, of course, it's the scammer's fault, but it's not really your fault. It's easy to fall for these things. But just be aware.
So there you go. That's how you avoid being scammed while travelling. Information. That's all you need. And just keep your wits about you. So thanks for listening. Our next episode on the 1st of the month will be all about Morocco.
It's a really fun episode. We speak about this festival we went to in the middle of Sahara Desert called Beyond Sahara. You'll hear from some people we met while we were there. We also play a sexual innuendo game, all Moroccan-based, called That's What She Fez.
Wait.
Which is the most genius thing anyone's ever come up with, ever. It's a really fun episode, and yeah, looking forward to you guys hearing it.
Then after that, you'll hear from us on the 15th of May with another mini episode just like this one.
Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are @faupodcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears, we also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.